You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Minister Simon Watts announced a five-point climate strategy which aims to reduce the impacts of climate change and prepare for future effects. The five core pillars announced were 1. Infrastructure is resilient and communities are well prepared. 2. Credible markets support the climate transition. 3. Clean energy is abundant and affordable. 4. World-leading climate innovation boosts the economy. And 5. Nature-based solutions address climate change. Watts said the three-page strategy is comprehensive and ambitious. However, there is no explanation as to how each goal will be achieved. I spoke to climate lead at Forest and Bird, Scott Burnett, about the nature-based solutions pillar and the strategy more generally. And so Forest and Bird has said in response to this announcement that including nature-based solutions to address climate change in the government's climate strategy is a win for nature. What are nature-based solutions and why are they so important?
So in essence, the term nature-based solutions is a label for ways of doing things more in harmony with the environment. Nature-based solutions can address some of the challenges we face through actions that can protect, sustainably manage and restore both natural and modified environments, and with the aim of it benefiting both people and nature at the same time. And they target some of our major challenges such as climate change, disaster risk reduction, food and water security, biodiversity loss and human health. I guess economic development has not historically recognised that we live on a finite planet and all the awareness that nature is essential for human existence and a good quality of life. So that failure not only results in a model of economic growth that contributes to the loss of biodiversity, it also misses the opportunity to effectively harness nature and helping resolve major societal challenges.
And aside from nature-based solutions in the climate strategy, were there any other pillars that Forest and Bird was particularly pleased to see announced by Watts?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, we're happy to see nature-based solutions as a pillar in the strategy, but in order to realise the five pillars within the government's climate strategy, you'd expect to see a collection of supporting policies that'll get us there, but we see very little of substance. And the strategy really conflicts with the reality that the government has been unwinding a number of initiatives that'll reduce emissions, things like the clean car discount, public and active transport incentives, rolling back emission standards for imported cars, allowing new fossil fuels exploration, and letting agriculture off the hook for another 5 years. I guess importantly for us, and probably the key thing, is that the strategy has no focus on gross emissions reductions. Instead, the government appear right now to be trying to move the goalposts by relitigating the agricultural methane targets. So aside from the nature-based solutions pillar, the strategy is heavily reliant upon hope for technology and innovation solutions. You know, and that's not to say that those things won't deliver some fixes, but we believe we need to act now to reduce emissions rather than wait in the hope that technology will somehow enable us to carry on as usual.
And as you say, each of Watts's five pillars in the document were accompanied by three bullet points arising from the core goals set out in each pillar, but gave really no explanation as to how this would be achieved. How concerning is this lack of detail in the strategy to you?
Yeah, it's deeply concerning. We want to see the government committing to more policies that will actually deliver emissions reductions and ensure a safe future for both people and our environment.
And I mean, Greenpeace has said that this strategy is, quote, about as useful as teats on a bull, end quote. Would you agree with this?
Yeah, I'd say it's aspirational and flimsy. It lacks substance.
And Watts has said that there will be more detail coming. Coming back to those nature-based solutions, and I mean in general as well, what are some specific objectives that Forest and Bird would like to see the government commit to under this?
Yeah, so I guess first of all, some examples of nature-based solutions are things like watershed protection through reforestation and pest control, and that will then protect downstream communities and economic activities such as farming, horticulture, etc. from flooding and erosion impacts like we saw after the cyclone last year. An initiative like Recloaking Papatuanuku, which is a reforestation ambition, that will deliver biodiversity and carbon storage benefits, and things like creating wetland areas and urban environments to help slow water flows into the stormwater system, farmers planting vegetation to stop nutrients entering waterways or to prevent erosion. So those sort of things that are working in harmony with nature to reduce impacts and provide benefits. And I think the things that we'd like to see the government commit to are firstly policies that'll drive gross emissions reductions. The easiest is to reform the ETS. At the moment, within the emissions trading scheme, it's cheaper to invest in exotic forestry than it is to invest in transitioning your business to lower emissions, and we think that needs fixing. We'd like to see incentivisation for indigenous afforestation. At the moment, the emissions trading scheme is focused around exotic forestry. We'd like to see further incentivisation of indigenous forests. We'd like to see more investment into caring for our existing native forests, possum and goat deer control. We'd like to see more wetland restoration, and we'd like to see agriculture start to pay its share of the emissions burden and transition to more regenerative farming models.
That was climate lead at Forests and Bird, Scott Burnett, speaking to me about the government's climate strategy announced last week. We'll be right back. Text us in on 5395 any of your thoughts on these pieces, or give us a call in the studio on 309 3879. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.